This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, episode number 113, Healing Leaky Gut. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast this morning. How are you today? We get that question so often, and we usually just answer it with, I'm fine. But take some time today. Maybe actually sit down, journal for a little bit. How are you? Because knowing where you're at gives you a lot of direction about where you want to go. And I've been taking a lot of time this last bit of self-reflection. And if you read my email I sent this last week, I talked about how I am quitting a lot of things in my life. And I had a few clients that were concerned that that meant I was quitting Ayurveda and not seeing clients anymore. But no, I'm still in the game. Love Ayurveda. It's a huge part of my life, if not the whole thing of my life right now. And I just think it's good, though, sometimes for self-assessment. And with it being so darn hot outside where I live, there's some time in there for inner reflection as I am hiding and avoiding the heat. I love summertime, but it has been unseasonably hot here in Utah. We're hitting over 100 degrees consistently, and my poor plants are all just withering and not doing well with the heat. And this morning we were out working in the yard, and we had to do it super early to avoid the 100 plus degrees today. For those of you who live in places that are consistently over 100 degrees, just I feel ya. I totally get your pain as far as having to structure your day in a different way to avoid the heat. Last week I talked all about Pitta and the heat of Pitta summer and how we avoid some of that imbalance and how we kind of stay nice and cool during the summer. But there will definitely be some swimming on the agenda for this week. My kids are already begging for that. And so I'm all in. I'm all in to avoid the heat a little bit. This last couple months, I have just had a very consistent stream of clients coming to me that are having digestive issues. And these digestive things they're dealing with are more than simply heartburn, which is a big deal in and of itself, or having sluggish digestion. They're experiencing things like leaky gut or irritable bowel syndrome. And you may not think you have digestive issues. And then when you hear what I describe with some of this, you might decide, oh, wait, I do have some digestive issues that I need to take on a little more seriously. So as we go through this today, you'll learn a lot about how to help your digestion, your gut, foods, herbs, things that will be useful, and maybe some practices that will help with stress, because we know that stress can have a big impact on how our body digests food. We can see this in times of fear. If we're really scared, we might suddenly have looser bowels. I experienced this at the beginning of every single race that I've done. I run a lot, and I don't run as much as I used to just because I'm a little older. My knees don't love it quite as much, so I don't run as often. But at one point in my life, I was running, probably 100 miles a week or more, and was doing a lot of marathons, ultra marathons, and trail races and things like that. And so during that time period, anytime you would get to the start of a race, they would have a big row of porta potties, and there would always be long lines for all the porta potties. And I always thought it was interesting because for most of us, you know, we go to the bathroom once in the morning, we're good for quite a while. But the nerves of the race, the emotion, the stress, the worry would cause bowels to be looser. And so you were having to see people go to the bathroom 3-4 times before they even began the race. Once the race started, they were usually fine, but it was that pre-race jitters that led to having to stand in line over and over again to use the bathroom. So I was one of those people that had to go multiple times before I would race, and then I was totally cleaned out and ready to go. But we see such a connection between our emotions and our bowels. So that it will be a big focus of what I talk about today. Let's talk first about leaky gut. Leaky gut is a modern term. It does kind of fall under an umbrella within Ayurveda, but leaky gut itself is a digestive disorder, and it's an occurrence where holes are actually being formed in the intestines, and they're allowing waste and food that hasn't been processed all the way to pass through the barriers and into the bloodstream. We really want all the waste to be eliminated through the body, and we would like all the food to be broken down into their smallest particles. In Ayurveda, we look at those as being broken down into the actual elemental energies before they're absorbed into the body. But when you have a leaky gut, it's allowing these particles and these food substances and waste to go across that stream, and it's before it's ready, And so it's not helpful. Our body can't digest it. A lot of allergies come from leaky gut. And because it damages the intestinal wall, it's usually caused by things like allergies or parasites. There might be some inflammation going on in there. From an Ayurvedic standpoint, it can either be vata or pitta that's causing this issue with the digestive wall. And what we see from this, or the side effects or symptoms you might notice, are things like fatigue, food allergies. You might have a tendency towards being dramatic. I know that sounds funny, but again, that emotional connection, that tendency towards drama or being over dramatic. You might have some skin problems, rashes, acne that comes up. Those are all really common side effects, and it's because your body is trying to deal with the toxins that have come through the cell walls or through the intestinal walls. And so there's a lot of symptoms that seem unrelated. And if you just go chasing after the symptoms, you'll be busy for the rest of your life chasing the symptoms. But it can all typically go back to a hole in the gut wall. So we want to heal that. We got to heal the lining of the intestines. So in Ayurveda, we call leaky gut grahani. Grahani refers to abdominal or small intestinal disease. So because we're having leaky gut within the small intestine, we lump it under that category of grahani. And grahani roga specifically refers to diseases that affect the tissues of the small intestine, and they cause pain, discomfort, and indigestion. Those are all things that we see when we have leaky gut going on. Now, when grahani is listed alone, it usually signifies a small intestinal disease in general and a specific condition of having ulcers in the intestine, which then lead to that leaky gut. So you can have varying stages of how much this has advanced in your body. It could be very mild, where you're having very mild symptoms, mild perforations, or it could be all the way to having actual small intestinal ulcers where you have a lot of pain or roga. So we kind of have that whole spectrum in there. Now, before you ever get to this point, there's signs, right? We see things like the sluggish digestion. We might see some of these symptoms of feeling fatigue or the buildup of ama. When we have toxicity in the body, we know that it's because the body's not being able to absorb all the nutrients and it's releasing toxins into the bloodstream. So that is a sign of having some issues with absorption and permeability in the small intestine. So anytime we have those symptoms, bad breath can be one, excess coating on the tongue, exhaustion, brain fog, all of those are precursors, and we want to heal the digestion and heal the intestinal wall so we don't ever get to leaky gut, because that is just misery. That is no fun. Nobody wants to experience that. Now, vata type of leaky gut or grahani is caused by taking in food that is too dry, light, or cold, and eating a lot of foods that are pungent, bitter, and astringent. I want you to think salads. If all you eat is cold raw salads, you're tending towards more of a vata-provoking diet. I'm not saying it's going to always cause leaky gut, but it can definitely contribute. So we want to watch that. Having a lot of emotions like fear, worry, and anxiety, those are the emotional root of this problem of leaky gut. So we have two things, right? We have what we're doing with our lifestyle, and we have all the emotions that we're creating. And these both can contribute to vata type of leaky gut. And then let's add on top of it traveling. That could be traveling, like vacation traveling a lot, commuting to work, a lot of exercise, over-exercising, over-movement, stress, and not having a lot of routines in your day, and even fasting. All of those things can continue to contribute to this vata type of grahani or leaky gut. So we can see that anything that's going to provoke an increased vata over time that affects the digestive tract can then lead to digestive problems. So the symptoms that you might see specifically for this could be cramping, like in the low intestinal area. You could have moderate to severe pain in the stomach. So this could be with or without food, just consistently. A burning sensation, which you might not feel too much unless pitta is involved. You can have some diarrhea that alternates with constipation, so that can go back and forth. Sometimes you'll get mucus in the stool. Not always, but occasionally you'll see that. And then you might just have overall dryness in the body, poor absorption of your food. If you look at your tongue in the morning and you see those little scallopy bumps on the side, that is a sign of poor food absorption going on. And then a variable appetite. So don't panic if you're experiencing some of these things. All of this can be pacified by helping your body with proper food, with dealing with the emotions, with eating herbs and things that will really help with that. Okay, so we really want to focus on that. So the biggest thing if you're having vata type of leaky gut is to reduce your stress. You've got to get your emotional stress and your environmental stress down. All of that stress is not helping you. It is actually increasing that vata in your system. That might look like minimizing the amount of activities that you're doing, simplifying your life. I keep on telling my husband, we just need to move into a tiny house. It'd be so much easier. Just downgrade all of our stuff, have just the bare minimum. And he just laughs at me. But maybe someday when our kids are grown, we'll move into a tiny house. But doing things that reduce stress, first off, going onto a vata pacifying diet. So eating foods that are sweet, sour, salty, on a regular routine, and not allowing yourself to eat too many of those light and dry foods. So if you're going to have a salad, saute it, put a little ghee on it. I know it sounds weird eating a raw salad and cooking it, but it will be so much better for your vata. And then following all of the guidelines for healthy eating. These are things we've talked about in the past where we're sitting down to eat, we're eating without distractions, we're eating mindfully, we're chewing slowly, we're eating to 75% full, we're allowing a little bit of space after our meals for our bodies to rest. That could be a short little walk, it could be reading a book, it could be having a light conversation with someone, reading something that's enjoyable for a few minutes, but giving yourself space for your body to start digesting is really important. So those are some of those basic guidelines for healthy eating. Reducing travel and movement. I have a friend that loves to travel. She works for the airline, so she gets free flights and they are always on the go. I think she is probably gone from her home at least 2/3 of the year between all of her little trips. And it is exhausting, and watching how that has taken a toll on her body is incredible. It has aged her so quickly and it has caused so many health issues because that travel can just be too much. So if you love to travel, listen to the podcast episode I did with Dr. Victor Briere about traveling and how to do it properly, because you need to be careful. It can really affect your doshas. Okay. And this applies to movement too. We don't want to have too much excess movement. We do need to exercise. We need to move the body, but we need to do it in the proper way. So we're not jumping around all the time if vata is already increased or creating too much stress on the body. We really just need to get to a place where we're lightly sweating, we're getting the heart rate up, and we're still able to conversate during the exercise. When we do beyond that, it can put a lot of stress on us, especially if vata is already out of control. So kind of watch that. Now, if you're dealing with a lot of anxiety and worry, counseling, therapy can be really helpful, a space where you can share those emotions and feelings. And I have found that is a really useful thing for me, is having a space to go and share and talk about it, because there's ways to see it differently. As soon as you say it out loud, it's interesting how your brain goes, oh, that's what's really going on. So being able to talk about it and not just ruminate in your own brain, our brains can be a little bit dangerous when we just let our thoughts spin around and round and round. So we want to be careful with that. And along those lines, self-care practices that help reduce anxiety and worry. So that would be like your meditation, your yoga, abhyanga, nature walking. So being outside in nature, all of those things that help reduce anxieties can be really useful. Purification practices. We want to clean the body of all the toxins. So we do seasonal cleanses Ayurvedically, which is really good. And then some real specific things that you can take would be ghee. Ghee is an amazing herb. Ghee has butyric acid that is specific to healing the gut. So when you take ghee, especially if you take it on an empty stomach first thing in the morning, it can go right to that gut lining and help to heal and pacify some of that ulceration or irritation that's happening in there. So ghee is going to be really useful. I recommend for most of my clients, if they're having leaky gut or intestinal issues, that they're having up to 6 teaspoons of ghee every day. And they can spread that throughout the day and put it with their cooking and their food. I do recommend that they take at least 1 or 2 teaspoons in the morning just to help their body to start to rejuvenate and heal. And then aloe. Aloe is such a good one that we overlook. Aloe is really great for inflammation, but it's also very healing. If you think about when you put aloe on a burn on your skin, it's healing that skin and rejuvenating the skin. So we want to use aloe. It's a good vulnerary, we call it. It's moisturizing. And you can just buy pure aloe juice and drink that. And that is a helpful thing. So typically taking 1 or 2 ounces a day just of aloe juice is going to be useful if you're having leaky gut as well. Some other herbs that can be really helpful are licorice. Licorice is a demulcent. It provides moisture and it's also a healing one. Chitavri. Chitavri is one of those herbs that does so many things. It's good for female reproductive health. And if you think about what it's doing in that sense, it's actually creating new tissue as well. So it's really good for creating new tissue within the gut wall. And then comfrey. Comfrey is very healing. It's a hemostat. So it actually helps with any bleeding that's going on, which sometimes that can happen when you have leaky gut. So those are also very useful. And then really focusing on Agni. We talk a lot about Agni, digestive fire, but that is done through routines, through habits. Everything that you do as a human being creates an effect in your body. So when you do something consistently over time, you're going to have an impact. So it's what you're doing most of the time that makes the biggest impact. So if we can get our eating, our sleeping, and our movement routines down so we have a good pattern for those, that's really going to help. My favorite book that talks about this and teaches you kind of the why behind it is Change Your Schedule, Change Your Life. Highly recommend it. And it's one that you can find easily anywhere. It's a newer book and it's by an Ayurvedic doctor as well. So it's from an Ayurvedic perspective, how to set up your day. And I think that's really helpful. So that's as we're looking at leaky gut from a Vata perspective. Now, when we add in the Pitta side of things, Pitta just really, we look at the inflammation. Because we know when Pitta is involved, we're going to have a little more heat and it's caused by more hot foods, heavy foods, eating too much sour, salty, and pungent foods. And pungent are like your hot spices, and having a lot of anger. So the emotional component of Pitta is going to be intensity, anger, and competitiveness. If you're feeling those emotions a lot, that's going to cause some issues and can potentially lead to a little bit of that grahani of a Pitta nature. Also, alcohol and caffeine. If you are an alcohol drinker or you drink a lot of coffee or caffeine, this is going to cause problems for your gut. It's going to cause inflammation. It'll increase your Pitta. And it's something that, especially if you're dealing with inflammation already in the body, we really want to avoid. You will see such a night and day difference in how you feel. And it can be hard to let go of those things because they are very addictive to our bodies, but they will help you long term to feel more balanced as well. And then we also want to just focus on decreasing some of that intensity in your life. Really want to calm things down a little bit. Do things that are more cooperative and less competitive. So there's not like a winner and a loser. We want to just have everything be very peaceful in there. Now, when we look at the symptoms of it, you also might see with a Pitta type of grahani, a little bit of burning, some pain that's more of a hot nature. It feels like you're overheated and you may have some yellowing to your bowel movements, which is interesting. So another reason why you should look in the toilet, especially if you're feeling anything that's similar to leaky gut. And you also could be having heartburn. Okay, so that's that heat and indigestion that's going on in there. When we're dealing with chikitsa or the healing aspects of a Pitta type grahani or leaky gut, we want to also reduce stress, right? So that's going to be the same whether you're dealing with a Vata type or a Pitta type. And we also want to look towards non-judgment, compassion. This is not just outward. We have to have a lot of non-judgment and compassion for ourselves. Typically, the way that you are managing and dealing with your emotions externally is how you are treating yourselves internally. So if you are someone that tends to judge, whether you say it out loud or not, but you're judging other people for their actions, for their bodies, for their way that they're living, for the choices they're making, the food that they're eating, the way that they're parenting, all the things, right? The career choice, the way they keep their house up. If you find yourself judging, that is a sign that you're also in judgment of yourself. And the more that you can start to feel compassion and love for everyone outside of you, and then also turn that internally, it will be amazing how much self-love you can experience and how that Pitta intensity will decrease. Taking also that aloe and ghee is going to be really helpful. And then you can combine aloe vera juice with a little shatavari and put those together as well. And some herbs that are specifically really good for Pitta would be avipatakar. Avipatakar is an herb that is very good for Pitta type digestion. You can find it at Banya Botanicals. They sell it there. You can take it as a capsule or just as a powder and add it into your buttermilk takra. It's something that we've talked about before with digestive health, and I'll mention it again here in a second. And then fennel. Fennel is something I think you should always have on hand. You can just have raw fennel seeds, chew on those after your meals. Anytime you're feeling that heat of digestion or you're feeling overheated just emotionally, chewing on fennel can be great. If you don't love the taste of black licorice, they do kind of taste like black licorice. I got to be honest with you, but they are a really good herb and very healing for your body as well to take those. And then also having a lot of mung dal soup. Mung dal acts as an antacid. Isn't that interesting? So when you make khichdi and you have your basmati rice and your mung dal, the yellow split legume is called mung dal. And it's a very, very good herb for Pitta specifically, or a good legume, because it decreases acid in the body. So if you're having a lot of pitta heat, you tend to have more digestive enzymes that are being released as well, which can lead to over-acidity. So having mung dal on a regular basis is going to be really useful. You could just have a little side portion with your meals would be great for you as well. And then, of course, a pitta-reducing diet. So staying away from the super hot things. Don't put all the hot pungent spices on your food. Take a lot of cooling herbs in, making sure that your food isn't overheated, that you're having liquids at like room temperature or just slightly warm. And just overall that intensity, that's really going to be helpful for you. When we look at kapha and how kapha gets involved when it comes to grahani, we don't really have a specific grahani that is for kapha because typically they don't really produce an ulcer. It does more sluggish digestion or a lot more mucus in the gut when kapha is involved in this. So you're not usually going to be treating that one specifically. We just focus mostly on the vata and the pitta aspects of it. And vata, you can usually tell because it's that dryness. And you look at what's your lifestyle been like. Are you more a worrier and you're dealing with anxiety? Or is it more pitta and that intensity and heat and eating foods that are too spicy or too hot? They have too much of the pungent, the sour, and the salty. So you can kind of see from those what we're experiencing. But overall, you may just be dealing with a vata and pitta combination, right? You could be having worry as well as intensity or competitive feelings and anger, but have anxiety as well. So then we just balance both of those together and we work with decreasing stress and working with regulating Agni, which is so important. And we come back to those good routines. So leaky gut is something that we definitely can heal. The intestinal wall can totally be healed. One herb that I didn't mention that I wanted to talk about just briefly is triphala for this. Triphala is an amazing herb. It does so much to heal the digestive lining of the gut. And many people use it mostly as a purgative. They see it as useful when you're having constipation. But I want you to maybe open your mind a little bit bigger about what triphala can do for the healing of the gut lining. And it's an herb that is easy to take. You can use it as capsules or as powder. And it's a combination of three separate herbs. It's made up of harataki, amalaki, and bibitaki. And each of those herbs have an affinity for a different dosha. So it is a tri-doshic herb when you take triphala. And we can actually adjust the ratio sometimes depending on what dosha is out of balance or what we need to do. But it's really good for regulating the bowel movement. It's going to tonify your colon. And this is something that we need, right? We need to tonify or strengthen the colon wall in order to eliminate some of this leaky gut that we're experiencing. It acts as a gentle laxative. It decreases ama in the body, or it's a pachana, as we call it. And it will cleanse at the deepest level, but it doesn't deplete your body. Because leaky gut is a problem with undigested and toxic substances crossing that membrane wall, we have too much ama. We definitely need to detoxify your body. And there's an Indian folk saying that says, "No mother, not to worry, so long as you have triphala." So triphala is very highly revered as far as being able to help with all the digestive issues. Now, the taste of triphala can be a little much. It could take you some time to get over that. And over time, you'll notice it does start to taste more sweet. And as you start to notice that sweetness, that's a sign of its rejuvenative or rasayana effect. Because it is a rejuvenative, it's going to actually go in and rejuvenate the gut lining. So if you're having any kind of digestive issues, whether it's leaky gut, IBS, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, any of those things, this is going to be very helpful for you to include triphala in your diet. As a maintenance dose, you want to take of the powder about a teaspoon 1 to 2 times a day. And or you could take also capsules. And so 3 to 4 capsules 1 to 2 times a day. So you could do 2 in the morning, 2 at night. And that is a really good way to start to strengthen the body. Now, if you notice that your bowels get a little looser than you need to, then just cut back on the amount. Everybody's body is just a little bit different on what is going to be best for them. Now, you can add triphala with cool water. And it will have a really rasayana effect, especially on the urinary tract, which is interesting. But you can also add triphala to hot water, take it at bedtime, and it's going to have more of a stronger purgative effect. So if you're dealing with constipation issues, take it nighttime. Otherwise, you could go ahead and take it in the morning, and it will have more of a rejuvenative effect if you're just wanting it for the digestive tract as well. It's intended for long-term use. It's the most effective if you're taking it long-term. It becomes more of that rasayana. If you take it in smaller doses at short-term, it's more of a laxative or purgative. So it kind of has different uses depending on what you're wanting to do with it. And over time, it's an endocrine tonic. It's actually really good for the endocrine system, which we always want to help that, the hormones. And as far as taking medicated Trifla ghee, this is something I really recommend. You can get a medicated ghee, though Trifla has been actually cooked into it. Use that in place of your regular ghee, and so you're getting more of the benefits of the Trifla. And this is something you could do about 2-3 teaspoons a day. You can add it to hot water, make it into a tea. You can take it plain if you'd like. You could cook with it. But I really like the Trifla ghee because then I'm getting more benefit from the Trifla than if I was to take it separately, and I get more benefit from the ghee than if I were to just take the ghee separately. So that's my little plug for Trifla. It's kind of the first go-to that I like when people are having digestive issues. So I hope that this episode was helpful for you to understand how leaky gut progresses, how it can start with just some mild symptoms, and how over time we can see this kind of occur in our bodies. It's not something that is necessarily going to be diagnosed by a Western doctor, but if you go to a naturopath or a holistic physician, they may see signs of this leaky gut. But I always think it's best to prevent. Ayurveda is all about preventative medicine. We want to work to prevent this from occurring. We want to have strong digestive fire. We want to have health in our GI tract, good bowel movements, all the good things. So keep working on that, and it will help you over time to just feel amazing. Don't miss next week as we cover irritable bowel syndrome, which is also a very common digestive disorder that we can heal using Ayurvedic principles. So we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. If you have not ordered your free starter kit, I really invite you to do so. It comes with a mala beads and tongue scraper, tutorials, digital resources. It's awesome. You just pay for the shipping, so it's totally affordable. And at this time, I can't ship internationally, which is a bummer because we do have a lot of you listening from around the world. But if you're in the United States, I can ship it out to you there. If you're from outside the US, you can still go and send me an email, and I can send you the digital resources for that. I just won't be able to mail you the tongue scraper and the mala beads. And then I would love to see you in the immersion program. The immersion program is something that really gets you off to a good start. It helps you to move into the world of Ayurveda with a guide. And we move through 28 days together. There's video support, there's email support, there's a lot of information that is there. There's a booklet that comes with it. So there's lots of ways for you to learn, depending on how you like to learn information. And it's very useful because if you're starting Ayurveda, it's overwhelming and there's so much and you don't even know where to begin. This will give you a roadmap. It'll get you started so that then you can just run with it. So you can learn more about that at ayurvedalifeschool.com/ayurvedaimmersion. And you can order the starter kit from the website, ayurvedalifeschool.com. Have a beautiful week. Stay out of the heat. Enjoy this beginning of summer. And I hope that you just are embracing all that life has to offer. We'll talk to you next week. Namaste. Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it. You can connect with me online at ayurvedalifeschool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.